morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Zach.
How are you?
Fine. Sorry I didn't get to your letter until yesterday afternoon, but I've got a comment when we get to talking about it. So.
Awesome. No worries.
And then do we have a quorum? Do we, Jeffrey? Do you know if we have a quorum?
Give me a sec.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
All right. Awesome. Well, then I will go ahead and call to order the Park Tucson Commission meeting for June 24, 2025. And Jeffrey, if you'll do roll call, then that's what we've got next.
Dale Calvert. Here. Glenn Brownstein.
Let me here.
Grant Hughes. Here. Present. Leah Latham.
Present.
Holly McAnally. Amaya Moraga.
Here.
Penny Mortimer.
I'm here.
Kathy Rivers. Alexis Ryan. Ellen.
Here.
Jim Sayer.
Present.
Jeffrey Stewart is here. Zach Ganser.
Here.
Did I miss anybody? All right. We have a quorum.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. And then now's the time for the call to the audience. Is there anybody out there who would like to address the commission? Hearing nothing, then we will move on to the minutes from the last meeting, which was May 27, 2025. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review those. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from May 27, 2025?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second it, Glenn.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Is there any discussion on the minutes? All right, then can I have a vote? All in favor of approving the minutes from May 27, 2025, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Jim, Sarah, I was not present.
Okay. Thank you, those pass. And then we have the introduction of, I think, is it two new commission members?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So I think we've got Amelia Latham and Holly McAnally. So welcome. And if you guys are present, if you want to say hi, let us know a little bit about yourselves. We'd love to say hi. I guess we'll go with Amelia first.
Oh. Hello, everybody. I'm Amelia Latham. I'm the office and event manager here at 4th Avenue Merchants Association. I am an Arizona native. I was born in Nogales, Arizona. I've been here in Tucson, about 16 years. I have 5 kids, and I'm excited to serve on the board. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And then Holly, are you present? I don't know that I heard her earlier. She may not be here.
She did not answer when I called roll now.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully she will be present for the next meeting and we can meet her then. The next item is an acting chair's report, so I don't really have anything. So we will move on to the election of a chairperson. Are there any of the committee members that are interested in serving as chairperson? All right, don't everybody talk at once. All right, well, if we don't have anybody who is interested in serving in the role, is there anybody who would like to nominate somebody to serve as chairperson? Graham.
Just a question for Tom. Is there any stipulation in the charter that the chair needs to be one of the ward appointees from the council offices, or is that not relevant to the chairship?
Let me double check. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't believe it's necessarily a ward representative, but I should check that and get back to you.
Okay.
Tom, I think, you know, the person who was the chair before Jill, was she a ward appointee? She was from the Marshall Foundation, but I don't think she was.
No, that wouldn't be a ward appointee.
Yeah. So I guess there is, you know, we have had a chairperson in the past who was not a ward appointee.
Yeah, just to make a comment on that. I was a chair for many years when I was the CTAC representative, not a ward representative. So unless it's been added, I don't know that that's an issue.
So again, yeah, looking for a nomination.
If you'd like, we can defer this to the next meeting.
And Tom, is there any other information? Helpful to the committee members to know kind of what is entailed in functioning as the chairperson?
Absolutely. There is information from the boards and commissions on their website. I can share that with the group. I can send an email with that information so you all can see what that entails. But essentially, it's leading the meetings and approving the agenda.
I don't think it's a terribly time intensive role is, I guess, what I'm trying to get at. All right, well, we will.
If I might, real quick.
Yes, Jeffrey.
Prior to Kay McCollum from the university area, it was Michael Guyman who was Tucson Metro. So the answer is definitely no for the chair.
Okay. Yes, that's helpful. All right. Well, hopefully we will have some nominations, and it might be, you know, we'll be in, I think, person next month. So that might be a little bit, that might be helpful as well. So we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the election of the Park Tucson Commission member to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. So is this position vacant? I think because, Jill stepped down. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. And do we have any commission member who is interested in serving on the Complete Streets Coordinating Council?
I could also send this website that I'm sharing right now about Complete Streets. It essentially teams up with additional stakeholders to look at safety improvements to all types of traffic, pedestrian solutions around town. The focus is on safety and with a priority for individuals that are the most vulnerable. And you can see some example projects, sidewalks, crosswalks, bike routes. There's traffic calming features that they've enacted. Around intersections, there are inviting public spaces for outdoor activity and along with different transit options. So really a good organization. Jill was really happy to be a part of it and providing me some information along the way. So I can definitely send this information. I can send this link to you all and take a look at it and think about a nomination.
Okay.
I could make a quick comment if you guys don't mind. Sure. Complete Streets is a started out as part of the study on doing the city's major streets and plan with the concept of what a complete street is, and that's it's all the components that's being looked at and being in a street. And that's where the Complete Streets Committee got started. Its safety improvement function is kind of a subpart of that that came into being under Prop 411. I would respectfully decline because I'm a part of the other Prop 411 committee on paving neighborhood streets. So there's work back and forth between the two and some joint projects, etc. So I don't think I would make a good representative, but it's a good, very good committee, and it has a lot of emphasis on alternative transportation as part of its core as well as safety. So I don't know where that helps people.
Thanks, Dale. All right. And do they meet once a month? Is that?
Yeah, they normally meet. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe it's once a month.
So do we have any nominations for the appointee to the Complete Streets Coordinating Council? Well, it looks like we're going to put this off till next month as well.
So I'll list it on the agenda.
Yeah, when we're in person, we'll have some nominations for those two positions. All right, so we're moving on to the administrator's report. Tom?
Okay, thank you so much, Janine. On-street parking meter status report, 103 meters out of service. We are aggressively attacking that and making sure that we have enough parts and supplies for the meters. It's a pretty good number. Want that to get a little bit lower there, but it's one of the best numbers we've had in a while. For parking service agent staffing levels, as you know, we currently have 5 out of 11 positions filled with 6 openings. Interviews for the parking service agent position is scheduled for the week of July 7th. So we did receive, I think, over 60 applicants. That's narrowed down to a list of about 38, I believe, was the number I heard. And we're scheduling interviews for those folks and hoping to hire at least 3 this round. I also wanted to share information regarding the Armory Park Neighborhood Reinvestment Program project. So this past fiscal year, 2 neighborhoods participated in the Neighborhood Reinvestment Program, Sam Hughes and Armory Park. They each used $30,000, which is the maximum allowable. Sam Hughes completed their project several months ago. That was sidewalk repairs. And Armory Park just completed their $30,000 investment. And I wanted to show some photos. Well, first of all, I wanted to read what the project consisted of, and it was several features. So the request included 5 center median islands to slow down traffic and prevent drivers from using the center lane as a passing lane. On one of the streets, I think that was 6th Avenue. They also requested solar mile per hour signs on 16th Street and 6th Avenue to alert drivers of their speed. And the final piece was 1,000 feet of sidewalk repairs and installation. So I just wanted to share a few of these photos because we are quite proud of what we do here for that. So here is the center median. It includes traffic calming right there, so folks don't come into this lane. They also it also slows folks down in there. There's a little more picture of that. Here's the speed sign, the digital sign was installed. That's just another picture of the digital sign. So focusing on 6th and traffic calming in the area. So really proud of that. After July 1st, Park Tucson will tally up the numbers again of the participating neighborhoods and the revenue that goes towards their fund. And we will send letters out to each neighborhood advising of what they earned the previous fiscal year and their new totals. So then, as you know, it's a first-come, first-serve project basis, and Sam Hughes and Arbor Park will not receive any special consideration. They'll be kind of put to the back of the list. So we'll put that out to the neighborhoods and see what neighborhood projects we can fund next year.
All right, thank you. And I live in Armory Park, and yeah, we have a lot of new sidewalks. Actually, I walked down them yesterday. It's it's a big improvement, so it's great. All right, so we're moving on to the next item, which is the student and commuter parking program 25-26 permit rates. Tom.
Yes, thank you. Back in July of 24, Mayor and Council approved parking rate adjustments. It's on a 3-year schedule. So last July 1st of 24, we increased the evening and weekend flat fees for 4 garages and surface lots. That went up $1. We also increased by $5 all the monthly permits and the on-street commuter parking as well. That happened last year and this year. So we're up to July 1st, 24, $550 for the highest annual permit fee and $150 for the 4th Avenue fee. Now we're approaching July 1st, 25. No approved parking rate adjustments are scheduled except the on-street commuter student parking. So wanted to show you our website where this information is located. Sorry, one second. Get that. Just want to show you our fees. So here's our on-street parking permit program. Very successful program. A lot of on-street parking permits around the University of Arizona. Here's the interactive map that shows all the zones and primarily around the University of Arizona. Here are the downtown zones over here. So as you zoom in, you can see what is available and what's not available. All the red have been sold, you know, and there are some available spots. Now they are sold by annual basis and by semester. So depending on who grabs the semester ones first, and then if another semester is not sold, we do have some openings as well. So we didn't quite sell out. We were in the 90% range of selling out. So what we wanted to do is take advantage of our rate increase and I wanted to show you what we're proposing. We don't want to take advantage of the full rate increase because we feel that there's a price elasticity concern with some of the customers. So if we feel if we raise the rates too high, we feel we won't sell as many. So we're proposing a $10 increase. And let me show you what that looks like. So the current rates, zones A through M, they go from $150 on the low end to $550 on the high end. And we're proposing to increase these rates by $10 each. We could go up to $600, but we're not. $10 all the way down the line for zones A through M. Semester rates are 55% of annual rates. And that's also listed on our website. And the current downtown 4th Avenue rates, these were increasing. We're adding $50 proposed to zones X through Z. We feel that, you know, the downtown real estate is worth a little bit more. We feel that it's appropriate to increase these by about $50. So wanted to just run this by the group, see if there's any comments and any suggestions.
All right, Graham.
Tom, you said it's about 90% or in the mid-90s. Is that traditionally where it is, or is that up from previous years?
I think that's pretty typical. I believe, JR, if you want to chime in, if you know any historical information, I think we've been close to 100% in the past, if I'm correct.
Yeah, we've been 100% for probably the last 10 years. The only time that we weren't was during the COVID year. But prior to that, it's been probably consistently for about 10 years that we've been sold out.
So you wouldn't anticipate the increase in rates to affect the number of passes sold?
Yeah, every year that we increase, we do see an impact for that, specifically south of 6. South of 6 is the section that doesn't really sell too good, but we do see a big increase in that.
And then I think Jim Sayre had a question.
Tom, I know you had an outside firm maybe starting to look at your rates. I wonder if they've weighed in on whether or not there should be an increase, or that did they lead us to a smaller increase than was anticipated, or how did that process play into it?
Thank you, Jim. Yes, you're referring to our cost of service analysis. Where a consultant is on board. We've just started the process. They have not provided any data or recommendations so far. We're in the data gathering phase for them to provide them all the data. So they haven't started that process, and we expect that to be done by the end of this year.
Okay.
One of the reasons. Yeah.
Our parking rates on campus adjacent to those south of 6th are higher than what your potential max could be, and we have wait lists for them every year. So I'm surprised that you think they wouldn't sell if you went up to the original proposed amount.
That's a good point. Yeah, I was looking at the U of A rates, and you're right. Absolutely, they are higher. I think that maybe the U of A has a little more attention, a captive audience, where we have to do a little more outreach and hope that folks visit our website.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I wonder if we could partner in that regard somehow, because rather than us just tell our customer down there, sorry, we don't have an option, I wonder if we could put something on our website that redirects when you have open space or something. Anyways, we can talk about that offline.
Thank you, Jim. Absolutely, we'd be more than happy to work with you to accomplish that. Sales of the permits start in mid-July. We do renewals first, and JR, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we started sales of renewals mid-July, and then August 1st for the new permit sales, if that's correct.
months.
Yeah, that's correct. We'll start the 15th of July for renewals. They'll run through the 25th this year, and then we'll start to the public new customers on August 1st.
Thank you.
And then, Tom, do you need any action on those rates?
I don't need action. Technically, we do not need the approval of the Park Tucson Commission, but I do want to take any of your guidance and suggestions into account. So if there was somebody or a group that feels that this is the wrong approach, we can definitely consider that.
If there's not, are there any other comments then on that agenda item? If not, we'll move on to the extended parking meter enforcement hours update.
Great, thank you very much. As you know, on June 2nd, the extended meter enforcement hours went into effect in the Downtown University and New Mercado District. The new hours are Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And the program, the extension was executed well. We had multiple vendors involved with our parking meters and our app. We had one snafu with our passport app in the university area that was fixed by the end of the day on June 1st. So no big impacts. I haven't received a ton of, you know, comments, but I have received some, one or two positive, but a majority negative, asking us to reconsider. But we are looking at the activity. We do see revenue coming in, and everything is working as planned. What I wanted to show you real quick, actually, is our citation numbers, our warning numbers, and the warning period for university and downtown was 2 weeks. So we've already gone through that warning period that ended approximately June 18th. And Mercado is still in their warning period. We're doing 1 month of warnings at Mercado. But let me pull up real quick a little bit of some numbers here that we wanted to show you in terms of revenue and activity. So looking at each date, June 2nd through June the 18th, make sure that, yep, through June 18th, this data is only for the extended hours, so 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We really wanted to see, you know, what's happening after those hours in Downtown University. And you can see we started kind of slow, you know, the first few days here, $320 downtown, $30 university. That might have had to do with our app not cooperating the very first day. And then you can see a slow increase, you know, as we progressed down the week. Got up to $2,100 for those 2 hours on June 7th. So that was significant. And as you go down the rest of the dates here, you can see a pattern, you know, with weekends being a little more active. The 14th was a Saturday, so on that Saturday, $2,200. That means people see the signs, they know about it, and they are paying. So if we total this all up, just from the extended hours in downtown and university, about $13,000 in additional revenue. Keep in mind, this is very new, and we do expect that to go up. It's also during the summer. And then we took a look at the Mercado area. So this is brand new parking. We looked at the entire time frame, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can see started off really slow. I think with the notices we put out and the notices that their Mercado management put out that we're just doing warnings, I think a lot of folks know that. But we had a little bit of an increase, you know, as we went along, you know, all the way up to, in the $100 range, 13th and 14th. But so far, $1,200 in Mercado in revenue through the 18th. And wanted to show you what our warnings and citations look like just for the extended hours. So these are warnings after 5 p.m. and on Saturdays from the 2nd through the 18th. 473 warnings were issued. So the parking service agents are doing a great job getting the word out, and especially in the heat, doing a great job, you know, during this time. So 473 warnings issued in the new areas, including Mercado 56. We did focus on Main Gate right away. We know that that's a pretty busy area, so Main Gate got 200 warnings. And then citations after 5 p.m. So citations after 2 weeks resulted in 54 citations thus far. And we focused on downtown and the Main Gate area. So it's working as planned. Revenue's coming in, citations are being issued, and the word is out there. So I just wanted to give you an update on what that's looking like. And we'll continue to monitor, check in with businesses, receive comments, and evaluate. And I'll take any questions.
Okay, are there any questions for Tom, Graham?
I know we're going to get into the financial report, but the way you built out the budget for this coming year, including this revenue, does this kind of fit your pro forma in terms of what you had anticipated? Or is it higher, lower, or is it still too early for us to benchmark it?
Thank you. That's a great question. It's a little early because we look at it on a monthly basis. We don't quite have a month to go. I think we'll most likely be down in June because there's warning periods, but we'll definitely provide an update in July what the full month of June produced, and we'll see if it's comparative to the budget.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? All right, then we'll move on to the Mercado District parking update.
Great, thank you very much. In the Mercado District, 5 payment machines have been installed. The plan is for 8 payment machines total. 3 of our payment machines that we had in storage that we thought were ready to go actually weren't. They needed some updated parts. So the parts are in San Diego right now. We do expect those back here within a couple weeks, and then we'll schedule the installation of the 3 remaining machines. The 5 machines have been installed on Avenida del Convento, right down the main stretch of Mercado. The 3 that are not installed are on the side streets, about 1 on Congress, and 2 on Zanjeros, which go east-west. So there is still some free parking going on, you know, in the Mercado area. And we've been in touch with the Mercado about controlling access to their lots. They do have payment signage for their lots at their entrances. But we do expect that with our citations, warnings, to tighten that up. We started a little late on the 2nd with the units. They weren't quite ready in the morning, but we did get them working by the late afternoon. We also installed temporary signage that includes, you know, above the kiosk pay here. We put signs that stated that there's payment required during posted times. And we will replace that with permanent signage soon. We did receive some business feedback. Negative feedback about the installation of this program. They were well aware, you know, the Monier Apartments was the one exception. Unfortunately, Mercado did not advise the Monier Apartments about the plan, and I failed to do that as well. I assumed Mercado was going to do that. However, they're only responsible for the commercial tenants. So being a residential, property, Monier wasn't informed. They also didn't attend some meetings hosted by the Mercado, which they are invited to. In any regard, I did speak with the manager there, visit with her in person, and what she explained to me was that some of her residents who don't wish to purchase the expensive monthly garage parking do rely on the street parking for their parking needs. They now have to pay for the 2 hours, you know, from 5 to 7. And she's going to explain that to the current residents and to any new potential residents when they're interested in renting. So wanted just to give you an update on that. I also wanted to share with you a a plan for future development in the Mercado area. There are two residential buildings going up, and I wanted to show you what that looks like and the plan for that. There's also a request to reduce the number of parking stalls that are required. So this is the Congress and Linda Apartments, and this was a presentation provided by the developer to the city. You can see Congress and Linda here. There's two pads that are proposed to be developed. Artist concept of these multifamily and high density residential units. So here we go, north of Congress and south of Congress. Here's the Mercado area, here's Avenida del Convento. And this area is actually under development right now. They're building away right here with another large apartment complex. Just some more overviews of where they plan to build. So overall increased development in the Mercado, which we did expect. And there is some consternation from the neighborhood associations, Menlo Park neighborhood, and some smaller residential neighborhood groups like Barrio Sin Nombre, that are expressing a little concern, a lot of concern actually, over development here. This talks about pedestrian connectivity and additional connectivity to public transportation. It's a little bit more of the outline of landscaping, what they're planning to do. But I really wanted to show you what the parking requirements are and what they are requesting. Going to go down here to that. You can see what the building is supposed to look like. So in the parking requirements that the city requires, there's a required number of on-site spaces, and we approve what is approved for them to provide. So typically it's 1.25 spaces per unit. So for this, the first building, based on 67 units, they would have to build 131 spaces. I'm sorry, that's 131 units an acre, 84 spaces required based on the 67. There is a reduction of 21 spaces per our allowance. We automatically approve a 25% reduction. Five spaces are reduced for 33 additional long-term biking park spaces. So we do allow them to swap out biking for some of those parking spaces. So after the already allowed reductions, they're at 58. So the developer's proposing 17 spaces, 41 spaces less than required. And in two meetings with the developer, the divisions and departments with the City of Tucson, that includes Planning Services Development, our Tucson's involved also, we stated that this is not acceptable, that this is one of the largest decreases requested that we've have on file here that we can remember. And what we've asked the developer to do is provide additional information on how this will meet the needs of the residential units and how that's going to impact the neighbors. So a really aggressive reduction. On the second unit, they start with 90 spaces right off the bat, and they're asking for a 61 space reduction to 29 spaces. So quite a significant decrease. This shows areas where there is additional parking. One example, so the Batista, which is under construction right now, another high density multifamily unit, 370 spaces were required, 256 spaces were provided. They were allowed relief of 114 spaces provided on street and a temporary surface lot, which is going to be provided by Mercado, of 83 spaces. So Mercado is developing these two areas into future permanent parking. There's a potentially future garage here, but the new developments cannot bank on this parking fitting their needs. They have to look at the whole area. What they came back with is that this costs a lot of money. Ward 1 is really interested in providing more housing, specifically low-income housing, and one of the buildings is focused on low-income housing. So we're waiting to hold another meeting with the developer and see where we meet with the required number of spaces. You can see alternative modes of transportation, the Sunlink streetcar, SunTran. There's the loop for biking. And just over here, just out of view, City State Garage. The developer is going to suggest some parking availability at the City State Garage. It's about a quarter mile of a walk, you know, under the 10 freeway and over here. But they're going to give us some data on how willing folks are to walk. So just want to give you a little bit of, you know, peek into the future and what we're dealing with this development. Of course, alternative modes of transportation are included here. The developer did say that the predominant audience for these developments are younger folks right out of college. They don't necessarily have a car. Right off the bat, they said they expect not even half of the owners or renters to have vehicles. And we're not quite buying that right off the bat. We know that Tucson is a car culture centered town. Of course, we do focus on the alternative transportation, and we would love for those residents to use Sunlink and SunTran and other modes of transportation, but we're just not sure how much they're going to use that. So with that, I'll take any questions. We are meeting, and the developers are meeting with the neighborhoods and taking comments from them, but right now we're just waiting to hear back from them. And there's also a safety improvement project that's going to be going on Congress, and just want to share that really quickly with you. I don't have it ready to go.
While you're looking at, looks like we've got Zach and Graham with questions. So, Zach, if you want to go ahead.
Sure. I think for Tom, any awareness of where the Ward 1 office is at on this project? I think that there's a few members on council. I would probably consider Ward 1 in that mix that kind of look at reduction or elimination of parking minimums as a way to increase land and reduce costs and make more affordable housing happen. I think that's definitely a policy direction that other cities are taking. Is Ward 1 pushing back in the same way y'all are, or do you have any idea?
The developers told us in the last meeting that Ward 1 does not support does support a reduction of parking in lieu of more housing. So they would rather see more housing and less parking, where our departments are really looking at that closely. We want to make sure the parking needs are there. So there definitely is right now a little bit of a different points of view between Ward 1 and the city departments. The developer did state that increasing the parking to half of what's required would reduce the proposed units by quite a bit. Ward 1 and the city are not quite seeing eye to eye at the present time.
It's interesting. I mean, it's a policy direction that I've been really interested in for a while, is how do we rethink how many parking spaces that we need. But also being on this commission and being a neighborhood president over the years brings some other perspectives into the mix of what is a healthy reduction look like, while also making sure that there is enough spaces to park. So yeah, this is an interesting one. I don't envy you guys.
Absolutely, I hear you. Thank you very much for that. Understood.
And then Graham?
Yeah, Tom, you mentioned that they've been granted a waiver for reduction in required spaces. Does that come out of planning and development? Who authorizes that? And if we look at the confluence of all these projects and the anticipated shortfall, I'm with you hedging that I don't necessarily buy that not everybody's going to have a car or a good percentage won't. Who's authorizing and approving those waivers?
That is the PDSD Planning Development Services. That office is engaged in that, and they provide the final say. They have a large team that looks into that, and they look at it from a number of different angles. So yeah, PDSD to answer your question.
Thanks.
And then Jim Sayer has a question.
Yeah, this is maybe more just a comment and maybe Tom for you to pass along to others, but we're struggling right now with the high-rise housing in the Main Gate overlay district, where when originally having conversations with the developer, it was recognized by all parties that they were under building parking, allowed to do that. And the university said, you know, if that's approved, fine, but just be aware you can't use university parking as your like fallback when the reality of actual residents showing up to live comes. And, you know, we've had a number of new management companies and new people, and years have passed, and now all of a sudden it's like, why aren't you letting us park on campus? And you know, the management companies that are actually managing those residential properties are saying, we're right next to your parking lot, why wouldn't you let us? And we're going to remember long before you were here, when there was an agreement with the developer, and you know, you're going to use streetcar and all these things. And I don't know how to sort of memorialize those conversations so that it's easier to have in the future, but just thought I would mention that.
Thank you very much, Jim. We'll take note of that. And that is what we've heard as well. That kind of fits the trend of what we've been hearing. And just from Park Tucson's perspective, I know citations, we issue a lot of citations in that area around the high rises, whether it's for parking in red zones or Uber Eats, for example. We do have a lot of activity there that goes against our parking regulations. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
All right. And then I think Dale had a question, and then Zach. Dale?
Actually, yes, I'm sorry, I was slow on my mic. Sorry.
Okay.
I'd like to encourage you to continue to hang in there. I think it's inevitable that there's going to be some substantial reductions. But I think at the same time, it's important that the numbers that you're talking about there are pretty extreme. And I think the fight is worth it, and I think it should be there. I, you know, having had a son who was a University of Arizona student, and we think a lot about people not coming with cars, and yes, there is a substantial number. And as someone who had a car on campus, he had a lot of friends when it came time to go someplace. there is also a need there. And, you know, as far as the apartments and, you know, the student housing, that is fairly expensive housing. A lot of those students in those complexes are going to come with cars because they're coming from that financial background. I think there's a point to have the discussion and try to come to a compromise. I understand what Ward 1 is doing. It is a critical city need. Nobody can argue with that, that we need a lot more low-income housing. But at the same time, we don't want to build into a future need to construct parking structures that because they were simply ignored by the developer and just passing that responsibility on to us. So I think that needs to be emphasized, that, you know, the problem can, you know, you can only do that to a certain extent until you actually run into serious parking problems. So.
And then let's have Zach, and then we'll move on to the next item.
Yeah, thanks, Janine. And I echo, you know, a lot of Dale's comments, and that's kind of what I was trying to hint at prior of, you know, I think that there are some, you know, serious policy conversations to be had around, do we need the same parking minimum policy that we did 20, 25 years ago? However, like Dale, this seems very extreme, and wondering, are these places where citizen commissions like this, it makes sense to kind of weigh in with citizen concerns from a policy standpoint of, yeah, we're trying to balance a lot of different policy and practice here. You know, it's one thing to hear it from staff, but I think if we're hearing today some constructive thoughts from the Citizens Commission, at least one of which of us hopefully is the, you know, is the Ward 1 appointee, you know, are these places where there's value to us weighing in with our considerations, Tom, and does it make sense?
Absolutely, there's definitely opportunity for this group, or just members of this group, to talk to Ward 1, to provide comments to, you know, mayor and council, or even on a lower level, you know, neighborhood meetings. I could even put you in touch with planning and services just to talk, you know, and see where they're coming from. I can tell you, I'm going to fight for it. At the first meeting, myself and one of the PDSD staff members, we agreed on a 75% minimum requirement. Maybe we'll reduce it by 25%, but below that, we don't see how that could work. So, thank you for those comments, and I will continue to fight for the additional parking.
So let's move on to the next item, which is the letter to mayor and council regarding the Park Tucson and Transit Fund.
Thank you very much. I'm putting on the screen here the draft letter that was provided by Zach, and wanted to hand this over to Zach, if you don't mind, Zach, taking this part of the agenda item.
Sure, absolutely. So this this draft came out of the consensus from the last full regular commission meeting to message to mayor and council ahead of their next August 6th study session, some concerns about one of the revenue items being on the list is an increase in parking rates in the Park Tucson program administration area. Tom will get to this in the next item, but we thought that conversation might be sooner than later, but it turns out that there's no mayor and council meeting in July. There's the first meeting that they'll consider additional revenue options for the next fiscal year. That conversation will start August 6th. And so I and a couple of others offered to take a first pass review at a potential letter to mayor and council from the commission. And as you can see, it's pretty short and straightforward. And not to get ahead of you, Tom, but I think the goal would be review of this today. And I think ideally, unless there's massive changes requested, I think it'd be great to authorize the sending of this as well as kind of a date by sending. I don't know that it's immediate. I think it'll get lost, but certainly a time that makes sense ahead of August 6th. As I've rambled, most of you probably have already read it by now, but really there's two points that we thought were important in urging mayor and council to defer consideration of any parking rate increases at this time. One is that that we have just finished a really thoughtful process with a lot of community feedback on expanding the parking meter enforcement hours. And so if we are still managing a lot of the feedback on that, stacking on top of it, that extension and increase in the rates themselves, we think would be premature and risk undermining the success of this policy that we worked really hard to calibrate. And all of you on this call know how kind of difficult some of that community feedback has been. And then the second piece is that over the past year, this commission has worked with the Parks Tucson Administrator, DTM, our own commission's Finance and Capital Needs Subcommittee to develop a multi-year financial recovery plan. And that a piece of that plan has been the additional revenue from the extended meter hours. And so the spirit and intent of this letter is to basically say, look, this program has its own functioning budget that needs to be sustainable, and that any revenue created by those extended meter hours needs to remain in the program budget for long-term sustainability. Don't see those fees as a discretionary revenue source. So I'll stop there by just saying, the spirit and the intent of this was to pull back the curtain as needed from Mayor and Council to really understand some of the technical work that this commission's been doing over the last year, and a couple of really technical reasons why we would like to see parking rate increases come off the table, at least for the time being. And Tom and Dale and others have mentioned that this recurs, that often Mayor and Council will look at Park Tucson revenues as a discretionary item. And so in this letter, we're not necessarily saying don't ever look at it ever again, even though every time we've pushed back, and I think we've been right to push back, but really it's a respectful urging to defer consideration at this time. Just take that item off the table, and here's why.
Are there any comments or questions on the draft of the letter? Dale?
Yeah, my mic's on. The only thing, I think the letter's very good, Zach, generally. The only thing I would like to see maybe a little stronger is in the Park Tucson Path to Financial Sustainability, a little reference to historical past, the fact that it took us many, many years to get to the point that we had a reasonable fund balance that carried the program for the first year of the pandemic, and that having those financial resources available are critical to maintaining the smooth operation of the fund. So I think you've done a great job of talking about the sustainability issue, but I think we need to maybe emphasize a little more emphasis on the fact that financial stability and having the financial resources built up that we had done before the pandemic, how that helped through the pandemic, and that is something that needs to be considered also in the use of funds. Does that make any sense? Did I make that clear, Zach?
No, it makes sense.
So I'm not sure. I fiddled with a few words, and I'll be very honest with you. I'm not, I don't think I had anything really perfectly worded out, but I think there's something we need to work on that a little bit more. Other than that, I think it's pretty good. Very good.
Yeah, thanks, Dale.
So I know the next item relates to a special meeting. So do we want to talk about that? I'm trying to figure out, do we need to get some, action now regarding this letter, or is that something that we can address in a special meeting?
So at the last commission meeting, we did vote to hold a special meeting. As you saw in a memo that was distributed, due to the schedule, and this item not being listed on the mayor and council agenda till August 6th, we felt that this could wait. However, if you want to continue with that special meeting, we can do that. The next commission meeting is the fourth week of July. And if it's approved then, that would still give you this body enough time to get the letter to mayor and council prior to that. So completely up to the commission. If you want to hold a special meeting, I can schedule that. We already have approval to do that. And if the commission does not want to hold a special meeting, we would just have to vote to cancel that meeting.
Okay. Zach?
Yeah, I think... Dale's point is really good, and I think it's worth putting that into the letter. And I'm wondering, and I know we just started a conversation, but if we get to the end of this and that's really the only main addition and that the tone of the letter is good, we're good with the letter, I think I could make sure that there's a final draft of the letter prepared ahead of that regular meeting in July. And then we could vote on it and vote to send it after the meeting. And I think that would get to mayor and council ahead of the August 6th meeting in plenty of time. So I think it'd be great to collect today any final feedback. I can implement it, provide the final draft ahead of the meeting, and then we'll vote to approve and send off at the July regular meeting.
Okay, so I think with that, then we're just looking to find out if any of the commission members have any other comments before the draft is revised to hopefully a final version that we could consider at the next regular meeting. So if there's anybody that's got any other comments, let us know now. All right, and I'm not hearing anything, so, Graham?
Should we offer a motion to the chair to cancel the special meeting?
Oh, and Glenn?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay. All right, so I think with that, since it doesn't seem like there's any other comments on the form of the letter itself, then I will take a motion to cancel the special meeting.
So moved.
Second.
That was Glenn and Graham, respectively. Or Graham and then Glenn.
Yep.
I think it was Graham then Glenn.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any discussion? Okay. If not, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? All right, thank you. We will cancel the special meeting and we will consider the draft of letter at the next regular meeting in July. So we're moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is the transient parking activity reports. Tom.
Thank you. Just looking at the monthly transient revenue, May 25 versus April 25, you can see a reduction in all lots and garages across the board, a minor reduction at that. But, we continue to track the activity and, highlights. There aren't a whole lot. We're only talking hundreds of dollars. But Pennington, which has the most activity, did see a $3,700 decrease. And Central also saw a modest decrease. And I'll take any questions.
Zach?
Just to clarify, when you say transient revenue, these are people that are pulling in for dinner on a Friday night and then leaving, right? These aren't permits. This is like one-off use.
Correct. This is visitors. Everything except the monthly permit holders.
So I know the decreases aren't enormous, but is there a trend line here? Is this just as we move into summer? Is there a storyline around this in terms of engagement with downtown overall, or is this kind of just what it is for now?
This does really the story here is as we move in towards summer, we do see a reduction typically, and this is actually not as big of a reduction as I was expecting. This does follow the trend of a decrease from April to May. April definitely outperforms May year over year. So it's really business as usual, but not as much of a decrease as what I was personally expecting.
All right. If there's not any other comments or questions on that, then we will move on to the financial report.
Thank you. And I'd like to introduce everybody to Tiffany Gore in our finance department. Trudy's out and Tiffany's stepping in. So Tiffany, I'll give it over to you. Let me know if you want me to share. Oh, you're muted.
Oh. Can you hear me? Good morning, everyone. I'm Tiffany. I am a finance specialist under Trudy, and I will be presenting the May financial report. Keep in mind, I know that Tom was discussing a little bit of the revenue from the meter hour increase. That won't be showing on these reports as that was started in June. So going right into our revenues, you're going to be seeing a continued increase in our off-street programs of 4%, increase on the on-street permit programs of 10%, and a increase in the citation state assessment revenue of 6%. And we do have a slight decrease on our on-street programs of 3%. This will be totaling our revenues at $5,010,358. Now, I do want to point out our transfer to general fund for tickets paid for April did not post by May's closing. So we will see in June, April, May, and June's transfer hitting. So that will be 3 months. That will transfer that payment out. Going into our expenses, we do see a slight increase of 3%, totaling our expenses at $3,692,894. After our surplus considers the negative fund balance from prior year, we do have a fund balance of $745,367. Now, something I do also want to mention, we do still have, again, those transfers out that need to happen, and our principal debt payment that will be hitting in June as well. Is there any questions on these financials? Going on to our last page, it just kind of breaks down how the revenue is coming in. Off-street brings in 60%, meters is 21%, on-street is 7%, fines and fees is 12%. Any questions on May's financial reports? I will move on to the five-year plan. Maybe. Sorry, it's thinking about it. There we go. And this is an update of our actuals on the 5 years. So you can kind of see the full picture and where we're projecting out or forecasting for the future years. Is there any questions or concerns? I will hand it back over to you, Tom.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Yeah, my only comments is, you know, still looking at the operating expenses, 2%, trying to hold that as low as possible. We are going to see a price increase July 1st for our security costs. We did hold the contractor to last year's rates, which was very, very fruitful for us. That was really positive. So that's really the main reason we saw such a low increase in operating expenses. And my only other note is on-street parking revenue was down a little bit. I'm going to say that that had a lot to do with the number of staff that we had. However, citation revenue was up. So, you know, citation revenue up, great job by our team. In terms of compliance with payments, you know, maybe a lack of, you know, force, you know, showing up, you know, on the street could have something to do with that. But we're going to continue to monitor that as well. So those are my only two comments.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany, for that. So I think we will move on to our next item, which is the subcommittee reports. So the first one we have is finance and capital needs. And if I remember correctly, I think that meeting was canceled this past month.
Yeah, it was still on Juneteenth.
Okay. Oh, that's right. And so then we'll move on to business district parking.
That meeting was also canceled.
Okay. So then moving on to the neighborhood and residential parking. Jeffrey, are you?
Yeah, so Tom covered pretty much everything that we discussed in our meeting, with the exception of there is one of the neighborhoods down in Mercado area that is looking to join the residential parking program.
All right, and then marketing.
I did not meet. Oh, sorry.
There was no marketing meeting, and we're also in the market for a new chair of our marketing committee. Zach Baker has left the commission.
Okay. Tom, is that something that just needs to be handled in that subcommittee meeting, or is that something we need to put on the agenda?
We should put on the agenda for the commission. I'll put that on the next agenda.
Okay. So that brings us into our future agenda items section of this agenda. So I know we have a couple of items that are carryovers from this time, which is the election of a chairperson and election of a appointee to complete streets. And then the chairperson of the marketing subcommittee, and then and also the letter to mayor and council. Are there any other items that any of the commission members want to bring up to have included in next month's agenda? Zach.
If you mentioned it and I missed it, I apologize. Could we also get an update on the Menlo Park project that has the requested decrease in IPP?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything else? If not, I think we are all wrapped up, so we will adjourn the meeting. I appreciate everybody's participation and being here for this meeting.
Awesome job, Janine. Way to go as interim chair.
Thank you.
Well done. I think we have a person. If elected, I will not serve.
Chair. All right. Everybody have a good rest of your day.